content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information at the end of this program. This month, we'll look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of May at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We begin this program with a book called Lethal Prey by John Sanford. Lucas Davenport and Virgil Flowers join forces to track down a ruthless killer who will do whatever it takes to keep the past buried. Here's the plot. Doris Granfeldt, an employee at an accounting firm, was brutally stabbed to death, but nobody knew exactly where the crime took place. Her body was found the next night, dumped among a dense thicket of trees along the edge of an urban park, 8 miles east of St. Paul, Minnesota. Despite her twin sister, Laura Granfeldt's persistent calls to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension, the killer was never found. 20 years later, Laura has been diagnosed with breast cancer. Confronted with the possibility of her own death, she's determined to find Doris's killer once and for all. Finally taking matters into her own hands, she dumps the entire investigative file on every true crime site in the world and offers a $5 million reward for information leading to the killer's arrest. Dozens of true crime bloggers show up looking for both new evidence and clicks, and Lucas Davenport and Virgil Flowers are called in to review anything that might be a new lead. When one of the bloggers locates the murder weapon, Lucas and Virgil begin to uncover some vital details about the killer's identity. But what they don't know is the killer lurks in plain sight, and with the true crime bloggers blasting every clue online, the killer can keep one step ahead. As the nation maneuvers the detectives closer to the truth, Lucas and Virgil will find that digging up Doris's harrowing past might just get them buried instead. Again, the book is called Lethal Prey and by the very popular murder mystery writer John Sanford. Now, the next book popular this past month is entitled Battle Mountain, and it's by C.J. Box. Here's the plot for this one. The campaign of destruction that Axel Soledad and Dallas Cates wreaked on Nate Romanowski and Joe Pickett left both men in tatters, especially Nate, who lost almost everything. Wondering if the civilized life left him vulnerable to attack, Nate dropped off the grid with his Falcons in tow to prepare for vengeance. When Joe gets a call from the governor asking for help finding his son-in-law, who has gone missing in the Sierra Madre mountain range, he enlists the help of a rookie game warden named Susan Caney. As Nate and fellow falconer Geronimo Jones circle closer to their prey, Joe and Susan follow the nearly cold trail to Warm Springs. Little do Nate and Joe know that their separate journeys are about to converge at Battle Mountain. And once again, that's the name of the book, Battle Mountain, and it's by C.J. Box. Next, number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson puts a sexy, twisty, gender-reversed spin on Fatal Attraction in this addictive tale of escalating obsession, betrayal, and violent delights for readers of Peter Swanson, Alison Brennan, and others. Here's the plot. He swore he'd never let her go. She should have believed him. Brooke Harmon is ready to end her brief affair. Gideon Ross is charming and sexy, but he's not worth throwing away everything she holds dear. So she breaks it off, hoping Gideon will understand. He doesn't. Gideon insists that he and Brooke are meant to be together. Finally, he backs off, but not before issuing a promise. He'll never let her go. Well, little more than a year later, Brooke wants to believe it's all behind her. Her family has survived intact. Gideon has vanished. But the fear hasn't disappeared. Brooke can't tell how much of it is paranoia and how much is justified. But she's worried. And maybe she has the right to be. Because Gideon is a man who keeps his promises. Once again, the name of that book is Our Little Secret, and it was written by Lisa Jackson. Now let's move on to another book for this month. This one is entitled The New Couple, and it's by Allison James. In this New Couple by Allison James, life appears perfect for Stephanie Hamlin. With her handsome husband Richard and their new home settled in the pretty communal gardens of Sycamore Gardens, people often consider Stephanie the luckiest woman alive. Their perfect house, with its huge clawfoot bath and red door, feels like a dream come true. But behind the seemingly flawless facade lies a web of secrets, making this absolutely gripping psychological thriller anything but ordinary. The perfect marriage, with its charming exterior, hides a far more complex story, where closed doors reveal more than just a happy family. Allison James weaves an intricately layered tale of suspense, betrayal, and obsession, pulling the reader deeper into the mystery with every twist. The New Couple is a psychological thriller that will leave you questioning the perfect life you think you see and the new home that is anything but safe. Once again, the book is called The New Couple, and it's by Allison James. Next, a book by the popular author Robin Carr, C-A-R-R. This is called The Life She Wants, and here's the plot for this one. After her financier husband commits suicide rather than face jail time for stealing from his clients, Emma Shea Compton comes home to Sonoma with the shadow of his crimes over her and must reinvent herself in a hostile landscape while reconnecting with friends she thought she'd lost forever. When Emma married her wealthy husband, she had no idea he was running a Ponzi scheme, but that doesn't make it any easier to convince people of her innocence once he's accused and kills himself. Well, going from mad wealth to mere sustenance isn't as hard as knowing her husband ruined lives. But when she moves back to her hometown and finds it almost impossible to get a job, Emma begins to wonder if she'll be able to survive, much less thrive. With help from a friend, she finds a place to live and gets a terrible job that doesn't last. But through it, she runs into Adam, the brother of Riley, her childhood best friend. Riley had betrayed Emma in college, having an affair with her longtime boyfriend, which ended the friendship for good. But now, Riley runs a cleaning company with better opportunities than anything Emma can find. So Adam encourages her to get in touch with Riley and see if she can help. Emma swallows her pride and asks Riley for a job, which she gives her, but the two still hold grudges from the past, and neither is interested in trying to rekindle their friendship. Riley is surprised to discover, however, that Emma is truly determined to work hard and embrace her new, simpler life. And both women discover they admire and like the older versions of each other. And when circumstances threaten their families and happiness, they'll both question what they're holding on to. For instance, anger, resentment, and pride. And what they're missing out on. Carr's take on this complicated situation is interesting, though readers seeking a deeper reflection from Emma in the aftermath of her husband's death or her stepmother's spite may be disappointed. A satisfying reinvention story that handles painful issues with a light and uplifting touch. Once again, this book is called The Life She Wants, and it's by Robin Carr. Now let's turn to a book, an original e-short story by John Grisham. This one is called Partners, a Rogue Lawyer Short Story. Here's the plot for this one. Sebastian Rudd, rogue lawyer, defends people other lawyers just won't go near. It's controversial and dangerous work, which is why Sebastian needs his bodyguard, assistant, sidekick, partner. So if Sebastian is just about the most unpopular lawyer in town, why is Partner, and that's his name, so loyal to him? How did they meet? And what's the real story of this man of few words who's as good with a gun as he is with the law? The surprising answers are all in Partners, John Grisham's first exclusively digital short story. And he's been writing books for a long time, so this really is a first. Once again, it's an e-book, electronic book, and it's called Partners, a Rogue Lawyer Short Story, and it's by John Grisham. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive publication and production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. Glad you're with us. Now let's turn to a book called Welcome to the Honey Bee and Bee, and it's by Melody Carlson. When life feels like it's closing in around you, sometimes the solution is to open the doors wide and invite others in. Here's the plot for this one. Jewel McCary is on the brink of unraveling as she heads home to Oregon to help care for her father, who has early onset dementia. Now, her 13-year-old daughter is upset about this move. Her beekeeper dad is a humorous handful. Her mom is overworked and overwhelmed. Finances are stretched tight. And, according to her father, the neighbors are nothing but trouble. Despite all of these challenges, Jewel takes on one more when she convinces her parents to turn their decrepit farmhouse into a B&B in order to make some needed money. Her old high school flame-turned-contractor steps in to help, but Jewel isn't sure she can really trust him. And those troublesome neighbors, the handsome widower and his teenage daughter, just might be the key to making all of this work. Get ready for a summer filled with family, good humor, and new beginnings. This sounds like a good one. It's called Welcome to the Honey Bee and Bee, and it's by Melody Carlson. Next, another popular book. This one's been on our list for a couple of months. It's called The Crash, and it's by Freda McFadden. The nightmare she's running from is nothing compared to where she is heading. Tegan is 8 months pregnant, alone, and desperately wants to put her crumbling life in the rearview mirror. So she hits the road, planning to stay with her brother until she can figure out her next move. But she doesn't realize she's heading straight into a blizzard. She never arrives at her destination. Stranded in rural Maine with a dead car and a broken ankle, Tegan worries she's made a terrible mistake. Then a miracle occurs. She is rescued by a couple who offers her a room in their warm cabin until the snow clears. But something isn't right. Tegan believed she was waiting out the storm, but as time ticks by, she comes to realize she is in grave danger. This safe haven isn't what she thought it was, and staying here may have been her most deadly mistake yet. And now she must do whatever it takes to save herself and her unborn child. This is a gut-wrenching story of motherhood, survival, and twisted expectations from the best-selling author Freda McFadden. It is a snowbound thriller that will certainly chill you to the bone. Now let's turn to a book that is not a novel, but a historical book here. It is entitled The Triumph of William McKinley, and it was written by Karl Rove. This is a fresh look at President William McKinley from the New York Times best-selling author Karl Rove, and a rousing tale told by a master storyteller whose love of politics, campaigning, and combat shines through on every page. And that was a quote in a review by Doris Kearns Goodwin, of course, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Team of Rivals and many other wonderful books. The 1896 political environment resembles that of today, an electorate being transformed by a growing immigrant population, an uncertain economy disrupted by new technologies, growing income equality, inequality, and basic political questions the two parties just could not resolve. McKinley's winning presidential campaign addressed these challenges and reformed his party. With a sure touch and a professional eye, Rove tells the story of the 1896 election and shows why McKinley won, creating a governing majority that dominated American politics for the next 36 years. McKinley, a Civil War hero, changed the arc of American history by running the first truly modern presidential campaign. Knowing his party needed to expand its base to win, he reached out to diverse ethnic groups, seeking the endorsement of Catholic leaders and advocating for black voting rights. Running on the slogan, "The People Against the Bosses," McKinley also took on the machine men who dominated his own party. He deployed campaign tactics that are still used today, including targeting voters with the best available technology. Above all, he offered bold, controversial answers to the nation's most pressing problems: how to make a new, more global economy work for every American. And although this split his own party, he won the White House by sticking to his principles, defeating a champion of economic populism, William Jennings Bryan. Rove brings to life the drama of an electoral contest whose outcome seemed uncertain to the candidate and his handlers until the very end. And once again, that is a new book called The Triumph of William McKinley, and it's by Karl Rove. Now let's get back to some pure fiction. Another very popular book this past month was Open Season, and it's by Jonathan Kellerman. Here's the plot for this one. Psychologist Alex Delaware and Lieutenant Milo Sturgis collaborate for the 40th time to solve a series of puzzling murders in the Los Angeles area. Now, deep into a Saturday night, a car pulls up to a hospital, and the driver dumps a body and speeds away. Despite first impressions, it's not an overdose. But then the coroner finds no wounds on the body. What's going on here? It's the first in a cluster of killings that have the two friends working together again. The victim was a photogenic 25-year-old woman with images of herself posted online. It appears she may have hooked up with a fake movie producer. Then a guy who was shot in the neck appears to have been responsible for the woman's death. And then another, also shot with precision to hit the jugular and carotid artery at an exact angle. That victim may have been coming onto someone's daughter a little too strongly. Perhaps these two separate victims were killed for two separate motives, united in death by one hired killer. Or Mr. Sniper's a knight-errant avenging victims of abuse. Or he might be helping someone in a custody battle. In one case, a woman is shot in a rowboat in the middle of a lake, leaving her unarmed child wailing and helpless. Arthur Kellerman, a psychologist himself, by the way, applies his professional knowledge with a light touch, mixing in a generous helping of police procedure, so all the readers notice is that they are being entertained. And speaking of helpings, Milo seems to enjoy helping himself to whatever it is in the Delaware's refrigerator. What else would you expect? They've been friends since 1985. The two men are the best at what they do and complement each other in cracking open, difficult cases. Alex's wife, Robin, helps him zero in on a common theme about the killings. What a great relationship when she's not pursuing her own interests. They're either having thoughtful conversations or joyous sex. Meanwhile, Milo admires Alex for his intellect. I go to sleep and produce night music. You reinvent the wheel. The story moves quickly and smoothly with vivid descriptions, such as a woman with hoop earrings the size of drink coasters. A treat for fans of crime fiction, for sure. Delaware and Sturgis are a durable duo. And that one is called Open Season, and it's by Jonathan Kellerman. Now let's take a look at a book that was the Library Journal's December debut of the month. This is one that is called The Four Queens of Crime, and it's by Roseanne Limoncelli. In this debut mystery, this is her first book, DCI Lillian Wiles, the first woman detective chief inspector in the CID, is determined to find a killer with the help of the four queens of crime, Agatha Christie, Dorothy L. Sayers, Nadja Marsh, and Marjorie Allingham. Perfect for fans of Ellie Griffiths and Claudia Gray. 1938, London. The four queens of British crime fiction, Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Nadja Marsh, and Marjorie Allingham, are hosting a gala to raise money for the Women's Voluntary Service to help Britain prepare for war. Baronet Sir Henry Heathcote has loaned Hursley House for the event, and all the elites of London society are attending. The gala is a brilliant success, despite a few hiccups, but the next morning Sir Henry is found dead in the library. Detective Chief Inspectors Lillian Wiles and Richard Davidson from Scotland Yard are quickly summoned and discover a cluster of potential suspects among the guests, including an upset fiancé, a politically ambitious son, a reserved but protective brother, an irate son-in-law, a rebellious teenage daughter, and the deputy home secretary. quietly recruiting the four queens of crime, DCI Wiles must sort through the messy aftermath of Sir Henry's death to solve the mystery and identify the killer. Once again, that one is called The Four Queens of Crime by Roseanne Limoncelli. And now here's a book called By All Means Available, Memoirs of a Life in Intelligence, Special Operations and Strategy. Now, this is a vivid insider's account of a life in intelligence and special operations, according to the New York Times Book Review. In 1984, Michael Vickers took charge of the CIA's secret war against the Soviets in Afghanistan. After inheriting a strategy aimed at imposing costs on the Soviets for their invasion and occupation of Afghanistan, Vickers transformed the covert campaign into an all-out effort to help the Afghan resistance win their war. More than any other American, he was responsible for the outcome in Afghanistan that led to the end of the Cold War. In By All Means Available, Vickers recounts his remarkable career from his days as a Green Beret to his vision for victory in Afghanistan to his role in waging America's war with al-Qaeda at the highest levels of government. In captivating detail, he depicts his years in the Special Forces, including his training to parachute behind enemy lines with a backpack nuclear weapon in the event of a Soviet invasion of Western Europe, and reveals how those experiences directly influenced his approach to shaping policy. Vickers has played a significant role in most of the military and intelligence operations of the past four decades, and he offers a deeply informed analysis of the greatest challenges facing America today and in the decades ahead. Riveting and illuminating, this is a rare and important insider's account of the modern military and intelligent worlds at every level. And once again, the book is called By All Means Available, and it is by Michael Vickers. It's Memoirs of a Life in Intelligence, Special Operations, and Strategy. And that's all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you'd like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina, accessible books and library services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. Again, that's 888-388-2460. You can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, and it is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately? Will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long, until next time.